WNST, Towson Baltimore, Baltimore Positive. It's gonna be quite a week around here. I remember we used to take phone calls around here, and it was purple therapy. We never really had any orange therapy. I mean, I got the station in 1998. I'm wearing my Curio shirt here today, and our friends of Curio Wellness and Father and Daughter. It's our 25th anniversary, and in all of these years, I don't know we've ever had anything like we had here this weekend. So I'm going to slow it down a little bit. Luke and I are going to get together. I'm going to get together with Dennis and Leonard Raskin, who I went to the Billy Joel concert with on Saturday night. It's my birthday week. Spending part of my birthday week in Arlington and hoping to extend it somehow, which is even crazier. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. On Friday, we're going to convene at Drug City, hopefully be a pregame for game five. I'm working on some game times for what we're going to do on Friday for the birthday. It's also brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, talking about their October offer as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Do not want to forget our sponsors in which will be one of the bigger weeks we've had around here. Luke Jones joins us now. Dude, I'm going to begin every segment by saying, you want to talk baseball? You want to talk football? Wait, what's the phone call about today? Because it certainly, I mean, I have to exhale. I wrote about this in the aftermath on Sunday night of watching a football game, then watching a baseball game, and the baseball game starting, and they're scoring runs, and I'm watching John Harbaugh from a press conference and thinking, I should be in Pittsburgh in front of Harbaugh and asking Lamar the tough questions and finding out Zay Flowers, all these guys, right? I'm not there. We're not there. You're in the press box. You're watching the baseball game. And I think all of us were thinking, we might split Sunday, but the Ravens would be the ones that would win. And Grayson Rodriguez, it just – so many directions to go in, and you and I are getting on a plane. We're going to be in Arlington, Texas, the next couple of days. But your perspective before all of this begins in the weirdness for you not being me eating Mr. Rooney's cookies in Pittsburgh, first time in 15 years. You haven't done that. And trying to document a day that really, like sort of Black Sunday, right? I don't even know what to call it. It was a terrible, terrible day to be doing what we do, our fans and the cold air and leaving the ballpark at 7 o'clock, at 8 o'clock at night. I mean, it's a crazy Sunday, Luke.
It really was. And especially considering how exciting it was going into the weekend. I mean, you even had the Terps playing in Columbus, Ohio State, and they jumped out to a lead, and I didn't get to see much of that, but I'm just saying there was so much going on this week and so much excitement this weekend. To be very simplistic, I think the feeling that I take away from the weekend, or from Sunday specifically, is disgust with the Ravens loss. And we'll get to that because, my goodness, there's so much to unpack there and what was just a really bad loss, in my opinion. And I think for the Orioles, it's much more in the category of disappointment. I mean, they didn't hit on Saturday and they didn't pitch on Sunday. And look, the Texas Rangers, I said it to you before the series started, I thought they were a really good baseball team. And I thought at different times over the course of the 2023 season, they looked like they could be the best team in the American League. But they were just kind of hot and cold, up and down. But we saw what they did against Tampa Bay and what they've done against the Orioles in the first two games of this series.
And they don't have their best pitching, right?
Yeah.
All their best guys, all of their Batistas who are going to eat up 5, 6, 7 innings in these games, if they could get here, if they could get past Houston and hold on, which they didn't. I mean, you talk about that ride. We're going to fly into, DFW here, before people hear most of this, we'll be in Dallas, right? And thinking about where they were and how this roller coaster rides for places like Philadelphia, Atlanta, Los Angeles, for all of these places that have been a part of the tournament. Yankees have lost a whole lot more in October lately than they've won. The Red Sox have lost more than they've won. They've won a lot, but this is a bad, bad mojo when you lose two games at home, and in the fashion that it sort of all unravels very, very quickly. And I think that's the thing I kept saying all summer long. Yeah. This happens in a blink. Not like football, we have 7 days to work on a trip to New England where maybe it happens and we digest it in the 3-day period in the aftermath of the purple smoke. I mean, this is get back out of bed, do it again, get on a plane, and boom, the season could be over. Or, and I want to say this out loud because I want to be the optimist because we're Baltimore Positive here, Luke. Dude, you get down to Texas, you get some bats, you win 8-4 on Tuesday night, you come back Wednesday night, you piece it together, you win 7-6 in 10 innings, blow everybody's minds. We fly back on Thursday, there's a game on Friday, and that's friggin' baseball, dude. That's the way this could play out. Or they go take a nap and we got to sit here and figure out, much like Ken Rosenthal was always poking the Orioles with, because he was treated like, he was the original guy that got treated like garbage and was threatened in every way. Ken, who I've known my whole life, said they're gonna have to spend money. And that becomes the lease, and spending money becomes the minute the season's over. But while we're in it, man, I'm in it. And there's no thought that they can't come back and win here, right? Before we even get going here, even the bats waking up, there is a thought that they could survive Texas. They could. This isn't some insurmountable thing to go win a couple of games in Texas.
It's not. It's not the same as being down 3-0 in a best of seven, where literally you have the Boston Red Sox to point to in 2004, and that's it. 10 times it's happened in a best of five postseason series in baseball history where a team falls down 0-2. And then they come back and win. It's 3 games in a row. How many times, not just from a historical context that we just laid out, but how many times have you seen this team go back just a couple weeks ago when they played the Tampa Bay Rays in a 4-game set at Camden Yards, where they fall in the first two. Tampa Bay pulls into a tie for first place. So many people were panicking, and they came back and won the next two. Think back to late June and early July when they had that stretch where they lost 6 of 7, and they were in the Bronx, and everyone was thinking, okay, well, the other shoe has dropped, and this team's going to start regressing to the mean after a really good first 3 months of the season. They reeled off their longest winning streak of the year right immediately after that. So, look, I don't expect anyone to wake up Monday or to go into Tuesday evening feeling overly optimistic by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, you're down 0-2. That record that I just mentioned, 10 teams have come back from an 0-2 deficit in a best of five. But the overall record, Nestor, is 10-78. So we know that, yeah, this isn't looking good, but
I'm going up to
it's not
Hollywood
impossible.
Casino right now. How much? $10 down right now on the Orioles. What are you getting back? I'm not going to turn this into the gambling hour because they'll do that for me. They do that all night long.
Yeah.
But when you think about, hey, if you love the Orioles here this week to win a couple of games, you want to have some fun. This is certainly something. And Luke, if I were to write the Orange Rain or finish the Peter Principles with the parade that's coming in 4 weeks. As we sit down here, 0-2, we're going to the airport in a couple of hours to fly to Texas to see them try to literally resurrect their season. I mean, this is worst case scenario in every possibility. From the last time you and I spoke on Friday morning to speaking at the end of all this. By the way, Billy Joel was great. Stevie Nicks was awesome. Sorry you didn't get there. Nobody got there. It was the most amazing, gloriously awful. I parked at Mercy Hospital and walked because I'm a veteran. Because I know what the hell I'm doing. I lived downtown for 20 years. I would just say, for me, I went to the Thursday and Friday games. And I've gone to so few. I went to 5 games this year, sort of famously. I don't give Mr. Angelos money because he's a creep, but I love the team and I'll fly to Texas. I would say I got up out of my seat in that Rays game on the Friday night and walked out of there. And I thought, maybe they'll battle back. Maybe they'll still win the division because it was level set at that point. They were getting no hit. I mean, it was awful. It was terrible, right? So I drove home on that Friday night, and then I sat on the couch and watched the other games. And I didn't burn my orange jersey. It's going to go to Texas with me. But the jersey I love that hopes I hope they resurrect it. I guess I'll have to burn it if they lose 11-0 on Tuesday night. But they bounced back, and they came back in a way that if they come back again, you and I, if we're thematically writing the book and they win this series and they're playing in Houston or Minnesota next week, and we have a lot of fun together. You and I eat sloppy cheeseburgers in Minnesota or something like that. Who knows? Nachos with John McClain in Texas and Dan Pastorini, and that'd be fun. So I can dream a little bit, but we're getting on this plane to go to Texas and think, maybe they can. To your point, dude, this has already been written into the script, right? Like, they've done this before. And I guess this is the point where I would say to you, John Means supposed to be pitching this game, right? And then the biggest news that comes out of the workouts and into Friday is, oh man, there was the gray cloud that rolled into town that began the whole thing. And I don't know, maybe Kyle Gibson's the tonic here. Maybe Dean Kramer's a bailout for them. Maybe they go back to Rodriguez in the seventh inning on Friday night. And I don't know. I really don't know. But all the problems with the bullpen, all the problems with the pitching and where Rodriguez was, the means drop, that news drop was a little bit like, there's one game we're not going to get. And now this is the game that he would have gotten.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you never want to hear something like that at the start of a series. And people will say, well, okay, well, the Rangers, you know, they had Scherzer throw a sim game during the workout Friday, and he's not on the roster. But that's kind of baked into it, right? They knew that Scherzer, if he's coming back, it was going to be most likely the ALCS or the World Series if they advance. So, but we know that this team has played so many close games. Their formula, great as it's been, as much as it's worked for them because they won 101 games, you know, best regular season this team's had since 1979. We also know that everything fits together a certain way and their margin for error isn't tremendous. You know, how many times did I say to you, and we joked about this, and we still were joking about this in September, that I wish they'd play more blowouts because they had to rely on their bullpen so hard. And, you know, even before they lost Felix Bautista. So when you lose one of your projected top three starters for your rotation in the postseason, I mean, it just makes things that much more difficult than everyone else. And look, saw lots of hand-wringing, lots of complaining about Jacob Webb and Brian Baker on Sunday. And I mean, this is the reality, Nestor. If your starting pitcher gets knocked out in the second inning of a postseason game, I don't know if there's a path to success from that point in the game other than just saying, well, you better score 12 runs. And you can go back and look at my tweet from the second or third inning on Sunday that said, based on how much they're going to have to lean on their bullpen on the heels of how much the bullpen worked on Saturday, which, look, that's postseason baseball. Bullpens are used. They're used a lot. Everyone does that at this point in time, other than maybe Bruce Bochy, who doesn't match up in the same way. And, hey,
well,
he's a Hall of Fame
to quote the great
manager.
Tommy Conwell, who I would encourage everybody to come see the Young Rumblers at Record Theater in December when they play, there ain't no tomorrow, baby. There's just right now. I mean, literally, this is you smoke them, you got them. There's none of that for any of them.
No.
And this is where Bochy took the left-handers and said, I'm gonna lose by playing to their weakness. And if we lose, we lose. But, I mean, it's a fascinating head game at this level, at this point in the year, when you're playing checkers with Bruce Bochy. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the guy sitting in the other dugout is as good as it gets, even if his team isn't as good as it gets. And their strength is taking pitches, and the Orioles' weakness is throwing ball one.
Well, it hasn't been that much of a week. I mean, look, they walked 11 on Sunday. That was their season high. It's not as though the Orioles have had this chronic problem throwing strikes, but they did on Sunday, that's for sure. And Grayson Rodriguez specifically, as great as he was in the second half of the season, and I feel for a kid when he's 23, had the second half that he had, he earned that game two start. I mean, it wasn't as though, you know, they put him in there solely because, oh, well, we don't have anyone else. No, he was one of the best pitchers in the American League over the second half of the season. He earned that. Kyle Bradish earned game one. It's not as though these guys were there and didn't belong there. And, yeah, we can talk about, should they have added someone better than Jack Flaherty, or added, they could have had Eovaldi last offseason, for example. But those guys earned those spots. But Grayson Rodriguez, unfortunately, this was the Grayson Rodriguez that we saw too often that warranted him being demoted in late May, quite frankly. You know, fastball command wasn't there, walked people, just wasn't crisp. And we saw it in the first inning. I mean, he got out of a bases loaded jam in the first inning, and you're hoping at that point in time that was his opportunity to turn things around and settle in. And it didn't happen. So when you get to that point where you have to pull your starting pitcher in the second inning, again, short of scoring 11, 12 runs, and okay, the Orioles scored more than they did on Saturday, but it wasn't going to be enough because you're just at a point where you're going to have to use Brian Baker. You're going to have to use Jack Flaherty. And we know how that's typically gone. There's a reason why Brian Baker had only pitched once in the majors since, what, late July, I think it was. So, you know, he's the last guy in your bullpen. But when you're in a position where your starter can't get out of the second inning, you're in trouble. I mean, that's just the truth. So And now you fast forward to game three and you don't have John Means. So is it going to be Dean Kramer? Is it going to be Kyle Gibson? We did see Gibson warm up briefly late in the game, in game two. So maybe that, I don't know if that's a tell for whether we're going to see Kramer in game three or not, as Brandon Hyde's trying to keep everything close to the vest, but it's not great. And you know, we've just talked about it at every juncture where you know, we've talked about it when they lost Felix Bautista. And now when you had John Means, and people will say, well, you were never expecting John Means to be in that spot. You know, you hoped he would be, but he was in that spot, right? He threw in the sim game on Thursday and then woke up the next day and the elbow was just tight. And that doesn't mean that he suffered some catastrophic injury. You know, maybe he would be able to pitch later in the postseason if they advance. But again, this team, the way they've played close games, the way that they've won this year, they've needed things to be set up in the right way, and things have just gone sideways for them. And they really went sideways in game two, obviously, with how much they had to use the bullpen, with Grayson Rodriguez just not being Grayson Rodriguez, quite frankly, looking like the early season Grayson Rodriguez, the guy who got knocked around by the Rangers Memorial Day weekend, which resulted in him being sent to AAA.
Oh yeah,
So
dude, the Rangers are his Alamo at this point, right?
at this point, sure,
And you know,
sure.
I compared him to Palmer in some way that, look, man, I remember we were comparing Storm Davis to Palmer, right? Like Boddicker to Palmer, like blah blah blah. There's one Palmer. I made that clear 2 weeks ago. You can go read up on that before Brooks died, right? Like for years, Palmer's the guy. So even Messina, you know, comparing him to another Hall of Famer, right? Or whatever, right? Like. But at this tender age for him and where Palmer was in 64 and 66 and being able to pitch and not being the number one guy, but being the two guy and working his way in, you know, I don't know that 10 years from now, Grayson Rodriguez doesn't have $280 million in the bank and 182 wins. And maybe it's with the Cardinals, or maybe it's here, or maybe it's with the Blue Jays like Gausman, or maybe it's with the Cubs like Arrieta. I don't know. I don't know. But this is certainly, a challenge for all of them, right? I mean, for all of they're all young. Rutschman has stood on top of the mountain, you know. They're all sort of made guys in that they're living a little better, driving a Mercedes and on their 23, right? And they've made it to this point, and this is the hardest challenge ever. And the thing, Luke, that I'll bring up, and again, I didn't go to either of the games. I'll be in Texas on Tuesday. I sort of, and for people that want to know why I didn't go to the games, I don't have a press credential, and I'm a media member, and that pisses me off. B, I didn't want to spend a whole bunch of money to be in left field in the upper deck where I don't see the strike zone well. I don't do well at baseball. I do great at baseball games when I want to drink beer and socialize and hang out on the club level. And it's the third inning of a May 21st game on a Friday night when I'm not really there to watch the game. I'm there to like hang out, you know? But if I want to watch the game, and I do want to watch the game, and I've watched every game, and Luke, I've watched every game on TV. And you know what you get on TV? You get Ben McDonald or Jim Palmer. You get the strike zone, the strike zone, the strike zone. You get replay, the strike zone, replay at first base, replay on the strike zone, replay on any close play, insights, insights. So, like, I'm used to that. Being in the outfield at a game, no offense, with people screaming and me getting squirted, like, it's just not, I should, in the press box, I'm there. I'm good. I can watch the game. So, watching it on TV, the last couple of days, I would just say to you, and you're there every night, and God bless you, and our sponsors support you being there every night all these years in the awfulness. But for a 23-year-old kid, even for Rutschman, certainly for Gunnar Henderson from Selma, Alabama, to walk into that stadium on Saturday with the weight of the world and the shadows falling, right? And it's do or die, and the place is mobbed, and Joan Jett, and I mean, you've been at a million opening days. You've been at dozens of playoff games now in New York and other places. All-star. You've been to, I don't know how many. You've been to a couple Super Bowls, right? I mean, I've been to 27. I know what the hair feels like. I know what all of that feels like. It feels the same thing when AC/DC comes on stage the other night and plays maybe the last show. You feel like you're doing something special, and then you feel like I'm 55 and you just turned 39 for the second time, and you feel it a little bit. I just think. There's a reason Reggie Jackson performed the way he did and was Mr. October, even though he was a prick. And there's a reason Bruce Bochy's doing this again. And there's a calm underneath Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and LeBron James and Roger Clemens, Derek G. Pick anybody you want. Curt Schilling, go to the other side of the wacko political spectrum. That stadium was big and large and full and orange and rabid. And I don't know that that's everybody's gig the first time or the second time, or even for Kyle Gibson, or even for, any of these Flaherty who's pitched in World Series game, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't think you ever get used to that. And I know you're taking pictures, your mother's retweeting them. It's great. It's just almost all. Imagine being out there and being Gunnar Henderson and, and Seager putting the bat on his shoulder and letting him get himself walked. Most of these guys could never do that. Sit there and get themselves walked five times in a game, right? Like that. And I'm just saying the energy itself for what this city provided, for the fan base, for the rabidity of all of it. I know what that feels like. I've been in that environment a billion times, literally. I mean, as a That's the beauty of what I do and what I've done with my life the last 40 years is I've been in full stadiums where I was there when Leyritz hit the bomb and quieted. I mean, I've seen it all happen, man. And I know the way the crowd happens, but I also know you don't necessarily respond well to that if you're Jim Palmer or if you're Grayson Rodriguez or if you're Tom Glavine or Greg Maddux or any of these guys that have gotten their brains beaten in the second inning of a playoff game in October. Because it's Smoltz was talk. I mean, it's happened to everybody, right?
Yeah, and I mean, and it doesn't always necessarily mean that someone has this fatal flaw or they're not cut out for it. Sometimes it's just as simple as it's not your day. I mean, Clayton Kershaw is going to the Hall of Fame. Did anyone see how he pitched on Saturday night? I mean, he didn't make it out of the first inning, let alone talking about the second inning. So it's
And
tough.
he's got
And
Lamar Jackson money.
well, it's tough, and that's not to make an excuse, but there's a winner and there's always going to be a loser, right? I mean, you're never going to, it's not as though you could say the Rangers are winners and you could say the Orioles are winners. And while they're not both going to win, so there's some of that. But this is why I said going into this series, one, I thought highly of the Texas Rangers. But two, I pointed out the Houston Astros didn't win the World Series their first trip to the postseason back in 15, and putting aside the trash cans and all that, just for the sake of this argument right now. But they didn't win their first try. The LA Dodgers, Corey Seager, I mean, coming from that organization and the number of times they've been to the playoffs, look how many times they have failed in October, even after 100 plus win seasons. They've failed multiple times in October. Is there some fatal flaw about them and the makeup of their team and the fact that they've only won a World Series in the weird 2020 pandemic October?
And
So
how
you
about
have
Seager?
them?
His walkaways watching the Padres walk over from last year.
Sure. That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Right. So my point here with this is there's a lot of failure baked into even the success stories of quite a few individuals. I mean, you mentioned LeBron James. My goodness. People want, the comparisons inevitably that you hear on talk shows and talking heads on morning, weekday morning sports networks, LeBron James or Michael Jordan. Both of those individuals came up short a number of times in the postseason before they finally broke through. And we think of Michael Jordan as one of the greatest winners of all time. The point is, for every Tom Brady story where the underdog gets to it, gets to the Super Bowl or gets to the World Series or gets to the finals or Stanley Cup finals, NBA finals, whatever it is, and they win on their first try. There are so many who don't. I just mentioned the Astros and the Dodgers. The Braves didn't win it their first time. If you want to talk about the Braves of this era or go back to the Bobby Cox era Braves, they didn't win the World Series until they had tried it and had to try again. And you just go down the list. The Nationals 4 years ago. The Cubs did not win their first try. The Royals got to the World Series with their first try, but they didn't win it until the following year. The point is, and this isn't to make excuses for the Orioles. They haven't played well enough over the first two games of this series. It's that simple. The really simple thumbnail is they didn't hit in game one and they didn't pitch in game two. Like it's not that complicated, but to your point, talking about the stage, and especially when you're talking about someone like Grayson Rodriguez, who's 23, or Gunnar Henderson, who's 22, or even Adley Rutschman, who, yes, won a college, you know, was in the College World Series and played as high profile college baseball as you can play. You know, this is his first shot at it in the October baseball as a 25-year-old. It's not to make it an excuse, but it's not guaranteed to go well automatically, especially the first time around, where you're still, you know, you're trying to get your feet, you're trying to get your bearings. And I think, you know, if someone wants to sit here and say that the Orioles weren't quite ready for this moment, well, if they get swept on Tuesday night, then it's kind of difficult to argue that. That doesn't mean the season's a failure, or that Mike Elias was wrong, or that this team won't break through next year, or 2 years from now, or 3 years from now. But
or that they didn't make the right trade on July 31st, right?
Well, I mean, we could certainly – we could talk about that. Look, you could think –
Dude, Aaron Hicks knocked in 5 runs, and the Yankees paid him to do it.
Well, but Aaron Hicks also missed the hit-and-run sign that Gunnar Henderson got blamed for stealing in the ninth inning. He missed a hit-and-run sign. That's what happened, actually, there. So
a veteran.
Yeah, a guy who's been to October, their most experienced postseason player, missed a sign in the ninth inning. Now, that doesn't, you know, he could have swung through the ball. He could have hit a line drive that turned into a double play. A hit and
run.
There's
all sorts of things there, including putting the fastest guy on the planet on first base and saying, mm-hmm. we're just going to play to tie the game and live another day because we want a faster guy out there. Just period.
But even in that spot, I mean, Gunnar Henderson's stolen 10 bases this year. Gunnar's got speed. He can steal a base, but it was a hit and run. Your veteran, your most established, most experienced postseason player. And noting that Aaron Hicks didn't exactly put up great numbers with the Yankees in the postseason, but he made a mistake. They did some uncharacteristic things over the first two games of the series. Does that mean that the moment was too big for them? Maybe. Or it could just mean that they didn't play well. And the Texas Rangers are also really good, and the Rangers played better than them. So, you know, we always want to try to explain away what happens when a team doesn't win or a team doesn't play up to its potential. I said to you going into this series, look, we're at a point now where everyone remaining is good. I mean, look at what the Diamondbacks did against the Dodgers in game one. I mean, look at the record discrepancy there. I mean, it's baseball. Look at what the Twins did in game two against the Astros on Sunday night.
Well, the Phillies have done it before, and they think they can win.
Right. I mean, the Phillies.
And they're sleeping on that disappointment of everything that happened last year, right?
Yeah, no question about it. Look what the Phillies have done against Spencer Strider in the postseason compared to what they've done in the regular season. It's like the Ravens back in the day against Tom Brady. They could never beat them in the regular season, but they find a way to beat them in January. Like, go figure on that. So the point is, there isn't necessarily that much of a rhyme or reason to this. It's especially in a sport like baseball, where the game-to-game variance is just enormous. So
it's big moments and it's pitching. It's pitching, it's pitching, it's pitching, right?
Sure, sure. And I mean, the Orioles didn't hit the back end of the Texas rotation in game one. You know, Heaney and, you know, Dunning coming in, and, you know, the malign Texas bullpen, they only scored 2 runs. It's not that complicated. They didn't hit. They didn't swing the bats. And in game two, my goodness, you can't walk 11 people. You know, and look, Grayson Rodriguez will live to fight another day. I think he's going to be fine. I love the kid's makeup. It didn't go well on Sunday by any stretch of the imagination. But
that doesn't mean he's not going to win 20 games next year.
Right. And look what he did in that Saturday game against Tampa Bay, which, coming off of 2 losses, I mean, that was a critical juncture for the Orioles in their quest to win the division. He threw 8 shutout innings. So, look, nothing's guaranteed for anyone. And that's why I threw out Clayton Kershaw, who's going to the Hall of Fame. And he was god-awful on Saturday night. A disaster for the Dodgers on Saturday night. So, you know, that it doesn't always play out the way we expect it to. And that's what makes it beautiful. That's what makes it fun. I mean, you can have a team that, forget about the Orioles winning 101 compared to the Rangers winning 90. You know, you've had much greater discrepancies between teams, and the underdog wins. I mean, it's the way it works. So we'll go, we will go to Texas. The Orioles will fly to Texas, and we'll see what happens Tuesday night. Nothing else matters beyond that at this moment in time, other than the Orioles trying to put their best foot forward, win one game in Texas, and then you try to win 2 games in Texas. And if you do that, there'll be a party in Baltimore Friday night for a Game 5 that, let's keep in mind, Camden Yards has never hosted a Game 5 elimination scenario. Or a game seven. So,
Or an AFC championship game in the modern
or an
era either.
AFC championship game,
Like
right?
that
So,
kind of game, right?
yeah. So, hey, win two. They've been a great road team this year. Win two on the road, get back to Baltimore for Friday night, and then see what happens. But none, can't talk about that until they win Tuesday night.
Well, maybe we could celebrate my birthday on Saturday morning with the Orioles still being alive and Kiko Garcia's birthday. And then Jim Palmer's birthday is, of course, Sunday. Wes Moore's birthday is this weekend. Stacy Keibler, our former intern. So it's a big Libran. And I know as a fellow Libra, Luke, you can appreciate that I want to come back and celebrate. We're going to be doing a crab cakes over at the Fountain at Drug City. I'm going to be upstairs, actually, in the tasting room doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some scratch-offs, hopefully some lucky Raven scratch-offs for some fans or friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare, putting on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm going to try to get it done on Friday. Luke and I are going to be in Arlington the next couple of days. We are not letting John Harbaugh or Lamar Jackson or the Ravens off the hook. They're going to London this week. We're not going to London. We're going. Wish I were going to London. Food's better in London than in Dallas, but we're going to Dallas this week. Everything's better about London than Dallas, actually. So, yeah, it's in Texas. So we're going to be monitoring Raven stuff. We're going to talk to Lamar, some Pittsburgh, and all that. But we're going to stay focused on the Orioles, at least for a little bit here. Talk about game three starters, and just talk about where Brandon Hyde goes from here. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, continuing disaster coverage here at BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us. It ain't over till it's over.